You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I'm rooting for the guy, and I think, you coached in college. It takes a while, don't you think, to get a program going? Come in there like that?
I don't know. Urban Meyer won 12 of the first 12 games at Ohio State, so it didn't take him long. That's my experience in college football.
All right. Okay. No. So we have the cop.
Vrabel with the build dig on Tuesday, Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. That was a little surprising, although maybe it was just more Ohio State love than it was Bill hate, but it was a dig. It was a dig nonetheless.
That thing went around the world.
You seem to like that.
Oh, phenomenal.
I don't know why you enjoyed that so much.
Because Greg is trying to get some, like, you know, he gets his backup from the guests to say Curtis is an idiot, and then he just drops a hammer on Belichick's head. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Vrabel, who you're big on. You were big on Mayo last year.
Yep.
More so than he wasn't Bill. You liked the change. But first
don't you think in hindsight they hired the wrong guy but fired the right one?
I don't even think, as you would agree, they didn't give Mayo much chance.
Right. But you agree that they made the right decision to fire Bill Belichick.
Yes. Unfortunately, I've got to admit, Bill has lost it. He has lost the fastball. And
I mean, I've mentioned him now twice. John Dennis has many lines that echo into my life, and that is, you don't hit rock bottom until you stop digging. And that video, that interview on CBS Sunday, when he's got the moth-eaten sweatshirt, he looks like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She's screaming in the background, and she's still on the sideline for this game.
Yeah.
I mean, he is doing irreparable harm to his legacy the longer this goes on.
He's not really.
So you think the petty stuff with the scouts doesn't impact how he's viewed around here?
I think he cost himself a chance to enhance his legacy the way Tom did, but I don't think in the end people will really remember this more than just a sad
finish. In 100 years, they'll say, oh, what happened when they broke up?
Nah, nobody says that. As Bill Burr said on the Eisen Show, like, nobody talks about Joe Namath in his end of days, or Bobby Orr with the Blackhawks, or, you know, there are a million.
Bill Burr is an idiot. Those are horrible analogies.
You have that clip? Turp can find that for you.
Interest in hearing Bill Burr.
Okay, I like Bill Burr. I think he's funny.
I think he's become a woke loser.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez, oh wow. Don't want to play any woke people on the show.
Well, I don't think comedians should go woke. It kind of hurts the ability to be funny.
I disagree. I think he's funny. Now, Shaughnessy, quick aside, had this to start his column. I want to see if you agree with this. The NFL season is finally here. New England waits breathlessly for the beginning of the Mike Vrabel era when they kick off at 1:00 Sunday. Patriots Nation is agog. There probably hasn't been this much anticipation since Brady prepped for what would end up being his final Pats game, 20-13 loss to the Titans in January 2020. You agree with that?
Who wrote that?
Shaughnessy. I don't really think there's the anticipation for this game. I think people were interested, but I wouldn't say it's like off the charts.
No, can get in decent seats for $130 tomorrow.
I think that's exaggerated.
Oh, by the way, parking pass. How do I get it?
I got it for you.
Oh, my man. I love you.
You're taking James down to the game,
yep,
right?
Big day.
You have to stay through the fourth quarter, though. Don't.
And I'm talking to Sean Flaherty of Catches about a lawsuit against Odyssey for when James slipped at the road show. So we'll see what we get from the company.
I have it on film. He was acting recklessly. His behavior, he was all
recklessly is the only way he acts. So like, no, we're looking forward
like
to
Courtney's
it.
Dog, who, you know, Wiggy says is untrained. It was just like, phew.
Okay, if you're saying James is like Harry, we're going to have to go out and fight.
I didn't say it directly, but I'm hinting that. Oh, did you find that clip, Terp? You're intimidated by Curtis. He doesn't want to.
Oh, Terp, you're fine. I love you.
Which one, the Vrabel one?
The Bill Burr. Oh, he's looking for that.
I was looking for the Vrabel one.
All right, look for that. We'll take Doug and Southie. In the
find the funny one.
Hello, Doug.
What's going on, guys? Great show. Love the weekday show, too. The Greg Hill Show, listen every morning.
Thank you.
Real quick, I was, you know, on the opposite side of Curtis when this whole thing went down with Bill and Tom. I kind of thought it was, well, Bill, I still think that during the height of things, it's probably close to a 50-50. But I will say now that obviously Bill has lost his touch. He shouldn't be back in the NFL. Probably shouldn't be coaching college, obviously. And I think what he's doing now with these kids and just banning the NFL scouts is just, it's such a dink move. It's totally selfish. If you're coaching college, you're in it for the kids, and I think his approach is absolutely terrible. And yeah, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Doug, thank you. Now, Curtis, you hold a grudge, though. You can understand how he feels wronged and recently with the docuseries. And
yeah, I have 10 agreements. No, of course. I said that before I had my lead yesterday, I stipulated by saying that I understand that Bill Belichick has anger towards Robert Kraft. And he has every right to be angry at Kraft. Full stop. Over. The way Robert Kraft did that stupid press conference, and then the second things got hot around here, where Mayo appeared not to be the guy, he goes on Charlemagne the God and said he fired him. Like, total douche move. I'm not saying that, like, he doesn't have culpability, that Robert Kraft hasn't done things that would cause me to have a grudge. What I'm saying is that Bill Belichick is sullying his own. He's doing the dirty work for Robert Kraft.
And you're right. Perfect timing with the we'll have a Bill statue. I want to have a Bill statue someday, which is going to hit the officially hit tomorrow.
I mean,
DWBZ.
There have been a lot of bad weeks that have had bad PR for the Patriots. This was a spectacular one.
Let's go to David in the car. Hello, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. As always, great. You guys are great together. I love hearing you guys on Saturdays.
Thank you.
So, you know, here's the thing, and I am a Patriots fan, Belichick fan, Brady fan, all the above. And I just find that people are being too quick to judge Belichick on one loss. And guys, hear me out for a second. So when you're very successful in an industry and you decide to try something, if you go somewhere else, if you've been with one company for a long time and you fail on the next move on the same industry, that's all it's going to be held against you. But you have nothing to lose to go to a different industry, which is what Belichick is doing, and just test it out. See what happens. Your legacy in the NFL is still there. His legacy is still there. I don't care what anybody says. I'm one of the folks that says it was more Brady than Belichick. I'll take that to my grave. But at the same time, you know, we cannot dismiss Belichick. And we cannot put Vrabel, which I'm extremely happy that he's the coach, we cannot put him on a pedestal when he hasn't won anything. Mm-hmm. I just find it kind of silly.
Okay. Thank you, David. Well, too harsh. Curtis is, yes, very harsh on Bill.
Yeah, I thought they looked good.
Going to bounce back tonight. You're predicting them to win big tonight? Big
against
bounce
Charlotte,
back against
yes.
Charlotte. How about Richmond next week?
You were rattled.
You don't
were
mess
rattled
with the spiders.
Monday night.
I'm not rattled.
You were definitely
I'm just taking
rattled.
It all in. I had no expectations. TCU is good. I have them in my top 10 preseason.
Well, I mean, the good news is that you can never be more wrong than you were. So it's only like I'd go.
You celebrated last year when Mayo won week one. So I think that was right. Pretty wrong. That was embarrassing for you. That's all I'd like to focus on today.
I'm going to go back to the columns you wrote about Bill versus Tom in 2021. Those were great.
Can we hear a little Bill Burr, please?
What'd you think of Bill Belichick's first game as head coach of North Carolina?
What'd you
football?
Think of Joe Namath on the Rams? What'd you think of
just locked him
Johnny
loaded.
Unitas on the Chargers? Wait, since when? Is the University of North Carolina even in the conversation of a college football powerhouse?
Not at all.
Exactly.
And still
thank
not
you.
Right now.
Exactly.
That's good, Terp. That says it all.
Well, the whole point of that joke was that Rich Eisen's a Jets fan.
Yeah, well, but still, there's just nobody who's going to care. The ultimate point is nobody's going to care what Bill does at North Carolina.
I'm sorry for all the people that threw their back out laughing at that. I'm really sorry. That
who's was your some... greatest coach of all time in the NFL? Costos was asking you this yesterday.
For me...
Lombardi?
I would say Bill Parcells. He made Bill Belichick.
He's going to finally get in the Pats Hall of Fame this year, which is good. By the way, should mention.
But, I mean, honestly, if you remove Lawrence Taylor and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is dating an 80-year-old, not a 24-year-old.
Sad news today, the passing of a hockey legend. Did you see that Ken Dryden has passed away?
I know, the former goalie. Mm-hmm. The Montreal Canadiens.
1971. Shocked the world when, as a rookie, he took the Bruins out in the first round, right between 70 and 72 titles. So, obviously, a big Canadiens legend, Montreal Canadiens legend, passing away pretty young. 70. How old was he?
I don't know.
In his 70s, I think. RIP to the great Ken Dryden. Let's go to Justin in D.C. on the football topic. Hey, Justin.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm one of those former big Bill Belichick defenders. And this scouting thing with the New England Patriots has totally soured me on him and changed me to Curtis's perspective. So I just wanted to share that before getting into some questions for you guys. I think New England has a massive football game this weekend with a great young quarterback, great receivers. And it's not the Patriots. It's Boston College. So,
ooh.
Curtis, I was hoping you can kind of explain the expectations this year, because I think the team is different than we probably have ever seen since Matt Ryan, insofar as it's a pass attack first offense and the defense is ball hawking. And we have the best head coach named Bill in the NFL or college football at the moment. So could you just help educate us on why people should buy into this team and why playing Michigan State is so big tonight?
This is a huge game for BC. 7:30. We got a big night planned. James, Nana, and I are going first trip to Mick Golf. Have you ever been to Mick Golf?
Oh, I have, yes. Excellent.
When I was a kid, I drove there with all my friends, road trip.
He's playing video games, or what's he doing there? Oh, mini golf?
Mini golf.
Okay.
He's like Fred Couples or the green.
In the driving range yet, or no?
No. He just drives the golf cart. but this is a swing game. Michigan State favored by 3.5 against BC. They got the quarterback from Alabama, who I wasn't a big Grayson guy last year. I'm happy that he won the job. I think Bill O'Brien's biggest skill is that he legitimizes the offense for guys that actually want to go to the next level. We're never going to get the highest paid guys. We're not going to get Arch Manning or any of those guys. But people that are diamonds in the rough, that have the potential to become a five-star, that want to get to the NFL and view Bill O'Brien as a way to get there, they finally have an offense that is like the one that Matt Ryan held in 2007, where it is a pro offense. We haven't had a pro offense here for a really long time. Last year, Castellanos was not exactly that kind of a quarterback. That's why they rubbed each other the wrong way. And I believe that this BC team will go 9-3 this year.
With a win tonight?
Win tonight.
Oof.
Money line.
Now, I'd like to point out, Northeastern grad here, I was basically Curtis last Saturday. Went to the BC game.
That's right.
Then went to Bubbling Brook to have ice cream.
How right am I about Bubbling Brook?
Awesome place. Give you two choices. You get the soft serve or the hard.
Did you go vanilla dipped in chocolate?
No, I got the sundae. Went soft serve with the fudge on the sundae.
Wow.
With the nuts. It was good.
Edgy.
Yeah. And then, but I got stuck in traffic on 109. That is a tough 109.
30 mile an hour.
It's like 15 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, I grew up going in the wintertime to Wimbledon 109, indoor tennis. Lovely spot.
That makes total sense.
And, nothing's...
Who do you got tomorrow, Yannick Sinner or Alcaraz?
I'm going to see Sinners while I watch Yannick Sinner.
Okay. That's great. That's talking about edgy.
Is that good? Have you seen it?
I have not yet been told I have to watch it. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll do it at Guy's Night. James and I'll watch Sinners.
Let's go to Mike in Framingham. Hello, Mike.
I know two things. I agree with Bill Burr, too. Yes, he's woke, but no one's so much shorter with the Washington Wizards. And then every great coach had great players. Auerbach had great players. Phil Jackson had great players. Name me a great coach that didn't have any great players.
All those coaches won with other teams. All those coaches. If Phil Jackson only won with Jordan, he wouldn't be considered Phil Jackson.
But Bill won with the Giants.
It's not that people leave and have bad endings. It's that Bill Belichick wanted Brady gone. Brady left. Brady wins a Super Bowl. Bill falls flat on his face. One goes one direction, the other goes the other direction. The other component to this story that is not discussed often is the lack of tree coaches off of the Belichick tree. There is nobody out there that has had any form of success. When you look at Parcells or Bill Walsh or Saban failed in Miami. I'm talking about the NFL. They have all failed. How much money have these coaches made on the back of Tom Brady?
You said you're excited about McDaniels this year.
Do you think McDaniels will ever be another head coach in the NFL? Has anybody fallen more massively on their face than Josh?
It's got to be head coach. You can't have a success as an assistant.
Right. Do you know what a coaching tree is?
You'd still be a coach and have success and be thought of as a great assistant coach. Like if McDaniels is good for the next decade.
So who is Dick LeBeau off of?
Dick LeBeau designed stuff himself. He was the godfather.
Okay. So Steve Spagnuolo is who? Who's his tree from?
Well, no. I mean, you can be a member of somebody's tree and go on to success in an accessory role.
Right, but the tree is that you're a head coach and one of your assistants leaves to become a head coach. That's how it works. Okay. And you tried to say Vrabel, and Vrabel said, no, that's not it. You can't be a player. It's a coach. And there's nobody that has had success.
Do you think Vrabel has any Bill in him?
Yes.
Okay.
I think people who have worked for Bill understand how much you can – they achieve more because he demanded so much. Definitely, there was an element of
fear. So Vrabel is on his tree?
No, he's – You can learn from someone that you work with that's not your boss, that you can implement some of that stuff into what you do. It's coaching tree means you worked on that coach's staff and then left to become a coach on your own. That's how it works.
Is Geno Smith now on Brady's tree since he's the owner and he's the quarterback?
Yeah, and it's Sequoia.
Turpin is on our trending tree.
I love Turpin.
He's going to give you the news right now.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
This is the Greg choice for halftime show, Foo Fighters. He is not here in the Taylor Swift calls, Curtis, and I know you're a big Foo Fighters guy.
I love Dave Grohl. His interview on Howard years and years ago was one of the most unbelievable conversations I've ever heard.
Excellent. It was at Fenway last year. Much better Fenway lineup last year than this year.
Talk about crazy hearing about, God in heaven, Kurt Cobain's death and where he was with Nirvana. What a career by Dave Grohl.
Awesome career. Now, the Vrabel career starts tomorrow. Vrabel's season opener history is really bad. Terp, you were telling me, what is Vrabel's record in openers?
2-4.
2-4. And he was asked about this at the press conference, and like he sounded so depressed, which you can imagine. It's kind of a tough question. Like, Vrabel, why do you suck at openers? Here's his answer to that exchange on Friday.
You lost your last three season openers in Tennessee. Any sort of common thread there? Anything that you adjusted for coming into this season?
I just got to play better, you know. Missed a field goal. Got boat raced by Arizona. You know, just play better. Take care of the football, win the second half, things like that, focused on. You know, you look at everything, every game, and they, you know, again, you want to win them all, and they just, you know, a couple plays in every game. You know, I don't know who the third one was, but.
Giants,
we missed a field goal. I don't know what else the other one.
Saints.
Yeah. 16-15. Close one. Yeah, I couldn't stop them at 4 minute. Turnovers in the red zone. I'll do it to you.
So he was forced to relive all four of his season-opening losses. Sounds like a depressed guy. Hopefully that changes tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, Bedard is just asking the hard-hitting questions.
Grilling him. Now, before we get – I know you have
I have a nugget
reporter
that just came out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
For the game tomorrow?
Nope.
Is this the Mark Daniels thing?
Mark Daniels.
Well, can we hold on that for 1 second?
Yeah.
Because I know there's new reporting there on the Bill stuff.
Yes.
We don't do a lot of Bill talk in this show.
No. Bill can do.
Two questions about Patriots this year before we get to that.
Love it.
Last year, four new teams made the playoffs. Denver, Chargers, Vikings, Commanders. Do you see anything in this Patriots team that resembles those four teams' stories last year?
Yeah. They have the right coach. They had the wrong coach last year. Wrong on Mayo. I was wrong about that. Dan Quinn, I didn't think would be successful with the Commanders. Jaden Daniels came in with him, and they changed the whole culture overnight.
And Bo Nix.
Bo Nix with the Broncos. Mm-hmm. But I just think this Patriots team, the defense is really good. They have a much better coach on offense, and they have better players. And the division is really bad, and their schedule, they're favored in 11 games. Last year, they were favored at zero to start the season.
True.
What's 11 more? How much more is 11 than zero?
11.
I mean, that's a pretty big difference.
12 teams, my last nugget here, are expected to have a different quarterback in week one than started the opener last year. Of these 12, tell me if any of them will be any good. One of them is Drake, obviously, because we didn't have Drake starting the year last year. So you think he's going to be pretty good. He might be the best of this bunch, okay?
Yep.
Penix, Atlanta.
No.
Maybe?
I don't think he's going to be very good.
Some people are bullish on Atlanta. Flacco, Cleveland.
That's a really weird one. The Bucs are only favored by 1.5 at Atlanta tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
No, I thought I saw 2.5.
It was 1.5 the other day.
Okay.
But, I mean, still, wouldn't you say the Bucs are going to win by more than a field goal?
Right, playoff team from last year. Flacco, Cleveland, any good?
No.
Daniel Jones, Indy. Geno in Vegas.
Better than those guys.
J.J. McCarthy, Minnesota, your Michigan guy.
If he fails with Kevin O'Connell, then you're in deep trouble if you're J.J. McCarthy.
Merrill Hodges guy, Spencer Rattler, New Orleans.
Double thumbs down.
Giants, dangerous.
I think Sierra should start.
Jets, Justin Fields.
Nope. God, there are so many crappy quarterbacks.
Seattle, Sam Darnold.
No.
Tennessee, Cam Ward.
Maybe. I have no idea.
And Aaron Rodgers coming here in week 3.
Week 3, Patriots win.
Ooh.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt. He is such a dink.
Will be hurt by week three?
I hope so. I mean, I don't wish, like, serious injury, but he's such a dink.
All right, we don't do this often, but we have a little Belichick intel, so let's talk
about
this.
So this is this morning from Mark Daniels, frenemy of the morning show, who tweeted a quote from his story at Mass Live. It reads, according to multiple sources, Belichick became upset when Kraft told him he couldn't retain Patricia as his offensive coordinator following the disastrous 2022 season. Instead, the Pats hired Bill O'Brien. If Belichick had his way, Patricia would have been retained. That season, Belichick was so frustrated with Mac Jones that he actually stopped talking to the 2021 first-round pick altogether. At the time, a source told Mass Live that Jones told people around him that the Patriots stopped coaching him and Belichick refused to talk to him. In 2023, according to a source, Belichick was also upset when Gerard Mayo signed a contract that named him the coach in waiting. The source said that Belichick refused to talk with Mayo, who was coordinating the defense that season.
Well, we kind of knew that, right? That there was reports they weren't talking.
It's amazing that that's confirmed. So you're not talking to the quarterback, the coordinator, or the defensive coordinator.
Now, I support Kraft on that because you and I, all through these decisions, said Kraft needs to step in and do X. Make sure they draft a quarterback. Make sure they get Bill O'Brien, get Patricia out of here, right? So I don't blame Kraft for that.
Do you remember where Bill was when this was going on?
Nantucket?
New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
With a young woman who we had no idea, Jordan.
Is that confirmed?
I mean, who else would it be?
Well, ESPN reporting it?
The demise started when she arrived, I'll tell you that. People blame, they say Yoko Giselle, Yoko Hudson.
Now, when we get into Bill talk and Danny calls, it gets dangerous.
Oh, I'm so happy today. I Danny can say anything he wants. I'll just be polite.
Okay, let's be polite. Danny from Quincy, our buddy. Danny, good morning.
You know, Ken, you know, first of all, the only thing I'm pissed about at Curtis is that he pushed a 45-degree dew point on me in August. And fall's coming and days ago, the crisp air and all that. And then you stuck it with me on Labor Day. And then you went to Florida, which is 70 degrees dew point, 90 degree of temperature. I'm freezing my tuchus off, and yeah, I swim every day.
It was raining.
I swim every day. Curtis, I have a boat.
Okay.
Yeah, you did. And you enjoyed the tropics. The weather that's happening right now, I'm getting my last swims in, because when you have a boat, you can that's your beach. You can go anywhere and jump off the boat and swim. You see? And I love the elevated dew point. The meteorologists now are dew point Nazis. Like, if it gets over 50 dew point, oh, put the air conditioners in, get the kids inside, the dew point.
I didn't know this was
I'm so
thing.
Sick of it. Dew point. I'm so sick of it. I had to get that off my chest.
Thank you. I actually share that completely. I agree.
What do you think about Theo and the PGA Tour?
And Liv.
And the dark mornings. I get up, and now I get up at 5:30. It's freaking pitch black, and then you add that cold, crisp air. And I don't mind it coming, but let it wait until October, please. Right. Just give me a September with
we
a little
have,
bit of warm
Danny,
weather.
Danny, we do have the blood moon tonight, the corn blood moon tonight.
Right? Oh, last night, I'm out on my back deck. My palm trees are swaying in the breeze. The elevated dew point puts the balmy in balmy.
This went a totally different direction.
I have no idea where I am.
When you eat outside in a restaurant, on your back deck, or you sit on the boat at night, and the elevated dew point, it's what gives that nice tropical breeze. It's beautiful. The moon was out last night. I'm like, and it's all going to end tonight. The cold is coming back tomorrow. Oh, my God. Thank God it's going to be a lousy day, because I would never miss a day like today to watch a 1 o'clock Patriots game. Even in the glory days, I would never stay in and watch a 1 o'clock game.
But you're watching
regular
tomorrow.
Regular season, if I had an 80... If I had a boating day, I'd take the boat. I'd listen to the game on the radio. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, I got to listen to the dulcet tones of Bobby Soucy talk about outside the numbers all the time. It's excruciating. Anyway, all right. But I got that off my chest, Curtis. So please, let the season come when it comes. Please, Curtis.
Yeah,
please.
I have to say, I am really flattered that you believe I have this much control over the weather.
Well, people come to you now for the weather.
Yeah. You pushed the fall weather on me in August, man, the first week of the Anyway, it's been a tough summer, man. We had the smoke for 2 weeks. The water temperatures are down 5 degrees over and above because Buzzards Bay usually goes to 80 degrees.
Wait, the water's cooler? Oh, Ken tells me the world's ending.
No. The water temperatures in Buzzards Bay usually get up to 78 to 80 mid-August to late August if we've had a normal summer.
Thank you, Eli.
They're 5 to 6 to 7 degrees colder right now. So when you swim now, when I swim, I'm going to go for a swim right after this call.
I feel like I'm taking a swim right now, Danny.
All right, Danny, come on, football.
I hear you,
football.
Brother. I'm sorry. I'm going on a rant. I had to get that off my chest.
Yep. Okay, all right. Yeah, that's fine.
So, yep. Curtis, I don't want to fight with you, Curtis.
Yep.
All right, all right. I don't want to fight because I know Ken's passive. He doesn't like the yelling.
It's true.
He gets uncomfortable. He cuts me off, and then, you know, I don't know.
I cut you off. Curtis has the phone.
No, no. All right, whatever. I'm just teasing you, Ken. You're a mild-mannered guy. You got a gentle soul, and you don't like the fight, and you don't like the yelling. You know, I grew up. Kyle. You met Kyle, Ken, right?
Kyle's the man. Caribbean Carl.
We grew up screaming it. Caribbean Carl. We screamed at each other, yelling. We screamed about sports. His two brothers are Yankee fans, and Giant, they're Yankee fans. So we freaking yelled and screamed
every
at each other,
morning,
brother. You have no idea.
I come in and Curtis yells at me about something, and I just
anyway. And Scott and his younger brother Scott is not only a Yankee fan; he's a New York Giant fan. Okay, so I'll segue into Bill Parcells, Curtis.
Okay,
you said Bill Parcells is the greatest coach.
No, that's not
in NFL history.
He was just kidding.
Out there.
Just
I
kidding.
Wasn't being serious,
right?
Danny.
No, I love Parcells. As far as my favorite coach
what do you
of all
think,
time.
What do you think, Danny? Danny, sorry to interrupt. What do you think Bill Parcells' favorite dew point is?
I wish I heard from him more. He was great with the media. I love his wit. I love
You cut Danny off. Yeah. Now, see, that was Curtis. That was not me.
I mean
Danny,
this from
I
the
kept
bottom
you on
of my heart.
For another 10 minutes.
I think that there's a certain point. Like I felt like I was talking to Biden at the end there. We needed
that
an aid.
That was like out of body experience.
I have no idea.
And this was right. It was teed up for him to come at you about Bill.
I have no idea what elevator dew point.
Yell at
is.
Each other. Go back to yelling at Curtis.
I mean, and to be mad about me for saying I like cool weather.
I do. I do agree with generally. You sometimes have doom and gloom with the weather though. Like this is the last night we have sun after blah blah blah, and it's a little depressing. Was like hearing Vrabel talk about the close losses.
I'm sorry. I'll lie. I'll say, you know what? It's going to be 90 tomorrow.
Well, just don't seek out that information of like.
So I heard a podcast about health, and it was about the CDC and all these things. And the gentleman said that we are terrified of symptoms, but symptoms are a great gift that we possess because symptoms give us a warning before something massive goes wrong.
Okay, agree with
so,
that.
So a symptom would be that the nights are getting darker and that I would like to know today that it's the last sunset after 8 as opposed to tomorrow because that means tonight I could go out late. If I find out tomorrow that yesterday is the last sunset after 8, then I'm kind of up S Creek without a paddle.
Okay.
So I figure information is a barrier that we can break down by allowing those to understand that, yes, it's getting darker. It happens every year. But tonight is the last sunset after 7:30 or 8. You might want to go al fresco at your local pub.
I just don't want you to say stuff that makes people change the dial.
I mean, I thought you were a little too quick with Danny.
you have the dump button over there. Let's go to Tim and Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Hi. Good afternoon, good morning, whatever it might be.
Yep.
I just want to say I think the Pats, the gauge is for them tomorrow. That's going to be a tough game. A lot of people think they're better than what they are. They're looking at 7 games. If they go to 9, they're good. But I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to tank out Pittsburgh. I think the Jets got a chance of beating them on top of that. Let's just hope for the best of the season, man. That's all we can do. But I think they're in a rough hole.
Okay, Tim.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, I don't feel great. With Gonzalez out, that's big. You can't underestimate Gonzalez being out.
You think zero to do with contract?
No, I don't know that.
I think it has to.
I think he's been awful quiet. It's unnerving.
I mean, and if he is
and Vrabel seems miffed in some ways. You can't tell why, but he's uncomfortable about the whole thing.
It's just the first training camp full 11-on-11 practice or rep, you hurt your hamstring. I just find that to be strange. But we were talking about.
I do like DJ James. That's the one guy in the preseason who impressed me.
Oh, do they have I should get that tomorrow for James.
Get James' jersey.
Ooh, love it.
Yep. What number is he, Turp? What number is DJ James sporting tomorrow? Do we know?
I'm not sure. 28, I want to say.
Look that up, please.
So you think the Patriots lose tomorrow?
I don't feel strongly. I just feel like it's going to be very close. And if I had to guess, yes, the Raiders have more continuity going than the Patriots do. And Gonzalez's injury makes me worried. And just based on Genty, Bowers, Max Crosby against two rookies on the left side?
I think if the Patriots lose, Monday we're talking about two guys, Bowers and Crosby.
Yep.
Those guys are going to be a problem for the Patriots. And the thing with the defense is there's a chance this defense is legit. Like you have, you know, Milton Williams, you have Harold Landry, who's a great – when he was at BC, he was one of the best pass rushers I'd seen since Mamula. I mean, the guy was excellent off the edge. He was phenomenal. But he got this knee injury, and there was some story after they signed him that they had a list of guys that had had the same injury on defense, and their careers were cut short. Like, it was a massive problem in terms of getting the burst off the edge. So we'll see. But I just – this is a game they should win. This is absolutely a game they should win.
They are favored. Experts are saying that. Jets are, by the way, two-point dogs at home. Is that right?
Jets suck.
Jets hosting the Steelers. Dolphins.
What's the four o'clock? Okay.
So 4 o'clock games are San Francisco at Seattle, Tennessee at Denver, but the big two are Detroit, Green Bay, Houston, Rams.
Ooh, Detroit, Green Bay. That's awesome.
No, those are the two. And Baltimore, Buffalo at night.
I like Green Bay big.
All three of those games, teams that made the playoffs playing against each other week one.
I think Dan Campbell crashes down to earth this year.
Would you like the Lion's Den to join us? Would you like to go in the Lion's Den for the crossover next?
I would love to.
Okay, we'll bring John in. Prep. He's got 4 hours coming up with KJ after us, and then Dan Ball leads you into Red Sox baseball. And don't forget BC on the AM tonight, 7 o'clock, WEI AM 850, or streaming on the Odyssey.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Only thing I can tie in there with Texas. Well, you hate every Manning, so you were happy to see Arch Manning go down last week. Wrong pick, though. Almost took you out of the college betting game.
Yeah.
But you're back.
Why has everything become like a social issue? Like Arch Manning, I just was kind of half paying attention in Florida, and then I see like Jamel Hill and people going nuts about a white guy, generational talent.
Oh, they were.
And then, oh my God, it's like, I just wanted to watch football. I don't know how the hell we landed there, but yeah, he looked awful, absolutely awful in that game.
But the Texas Rangers, five games back of the wild card now, getting hot despite Eovaldi being out. So watch out for the Rangers.
And I don't know about you, John Lyons, but on Saturday, around 3:30 of a week ago, I said, ooh, this is good for Bill Monday, because it felt like you had a up-and-coming young quarterback who had never faced a truly good defensive coordinator before. And I was like, well, if Matt Patricia can do this to Arch Manning, then Bill should be able to do this to TCU. And for about 5 minutes, it looked right. But thankfully, I didn't put money on
that. By the way, 1-3 and out early.
John went to North Carolina to witness camp.
Yeah.
I went down there in April. Yeah. Went to one of their practices.
Too old for Bill.
Yes, I am.
How was it?
You know, it was interesting because when I was down there in April and I was at practice, and you know, sometimes when I go to these things, Curtis, I try to look at it through like my former coaching lens. Like, what are they good at? What are they not good at? And I walked away from it thinking, all right, they're going to be better than they were a year ago under Mac Brown. Like, they were 6-7. They weren't good. Like, they lost to JMU. Shout out Bob Chesney doing a great job down there. But they weren't good, but I remember thinking...
Is he related to Kenny?
No, he's actually... Bob Chesney, for a while, was the best coach in New England. Just a side note, when he was at Holy Cross.
Wow.
But, I remember...
It's kind of a shot at Wiggy, if we're being honest.
How about the Oklahoma State coach? Where was that guy? He was...
Mike Gundy?
No, basketball. Oklahoma State, sorry. Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City. NBA.
Oh, Mark Dagnall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever coached around here, though, did he?
Oh, yeah, and
I
don't know from Central Mass?
Yeah, I actually don't know enough about his history. But
sorry,
yeah.
That was a
no.
Good
that's
number.
Right. It's a good question.
We're staying until 5 o'clock.
yeah. So, but I remember walking away thinking, do they have the size and like the athletes to hang with the big boys? Because you look at UNC's schedule, like the TCU game, obviously a tough game. They have Clemson on October 4th. They have Syracuse on Halloween. Other than that, the schedule's not that bad.
No.
But when you look at what happened Monday night, every single thing TCU did was better than what UNC did. They were bigger, they were faster, they were stronger, they were better coached that night, they out-executed them, everything. I mean, I go to the third quarter, Curtis, those two touchdowns, the two rushing touchdowns TCU had, almost an identical play. One to the right, one to the left, right. They pull the guard, kick it out, running back's untouched, linebacker doesn't get there. I can't think of a time, even in the bad years, when Bill was with the Patriots, that his defense gave up touchdowns on back-to-back drives on nearly identical plays like that. I was like, ooh, that doesn't look good. And I think a lot of that is the athletes, right? They don't have the athletes there to hang with some of these teams, but yeah.
Well, Lombardi's on the case. He's going to get them in.
And the thing is, their 2026 class does have some good commits, but those guys won't make an impact till 27, 28. Is Bill going to be there by then? Like, yeah. I don't know.
And I don't think, to me, the of all the back and forth about why it was so good here for so long, the number one,
because of Ernie Adams, right?
Yeah, the number one component was that
because of McDaniels,
the disciple of Bill was Tom, and whatever issue a player had with Bill, especially in the second iteration of the final three, you had a guy that players played for, and was able to spread the gospel of a brilliant football mind in a way that it was accepted and received. And what Monday night did for some guys, I have no idea. My guess is some, maybe several, maybe none. It creates that little bit of daylight where you're like, wait, what does this guy know right now? Like, this is, we got our butt kicked. We come out of halftime. We don't play well. The buy-in that is necessary for any Bill team is wavering right now. So whatever commits you may have down the line, Bill needs someone who the players look to that can say, listen to coach, we're going to do it this way, and I don't know if that's going to arrive at North Carolina.
And you even look back on those early Patriots teams, and people forget, Bill was the defensive backs coach on the 96 team that went to the Super Bowl,
so Ty
Law and those guys, like, they knew who he was. They knew this guy was legit, maybe an 18-year-old. I still think they look at Bill as the greatest coach ever, but if they go out, let's say they don't go out and they don't play well against Charlotte, even if they win, but it's kind of too close,
right,
then I'm like, then some of those guys maybe start to have that doubt. And your point about the buy-in is interesting, right? Because a lot of people look at, and I read a study on this a while back, the most important person in the organization is the leader, right? But the first follower is almost equally as important.
Totally.
Because that person changes the leader from being just a guy or just a girl into an actual leader. And that, to me, was one of Brady's greatest strengths for 20 years, is that he was that first follower in the Patriot way, or whatever you want to call it. He was that kind of example to the other 52 guys on the roster.
Right. And he had Belichick had McGinnis and Ty and those guys from 96.
Malloy, was a big part of it early. Right.
And the thing for, when it comes to where this, I don't know, the current state of the Patriots, I view the Judon pantsing of Mayo as the moment that encapsulated the demise of last season. Even after week one win, when I ran around naked celebrating, the organization that allowed Judon to embarrass the new coach, that they then surrounded with literally nobody on his coaching staff, it was dead on arrival. Whereas this year, you look at, you want to say the first follower, whatever, the way we go from the boat until now with Diggs, and whether Vrabel asked him to, I think he did it on his own. I don't think Vrabel would ask Diggs to do that. Either way, we're entering week one, and it feels like whatever that was, whether it was the boat or the Karen stuff or the not showing up or the pain in the posterior or whatever, it feels like the adults are taking control in a way that they totally didn't last year.
Yeah, it's a low bar to clear, right?
Oh, of course.
But I agree. And I think Diggs is an interesting case because even though he's a free agent, even though he's coming off an injury, you have a guy with that stature that signs for that contract. Guys are going to look at him as a leader, whether he likes it or not. And even if he's not a vocal leader, they're going to look at how does he conduct himself? How does he take to the coaching? And this isn't a team, Curtis. You know, there's not a lot of veterans here, no, right? Like, there's a lot of young, impressionable guys. The starting quarterback's in his second year. Your best player in Gonzalez is only in his third year. Won't play tomorrow, obviously. But if Diggs has the attitude that we saw at the podium, where he wants to be part of this, I think it does make a big difference on a lot of those younger guys.
I agree.
Paul has been up at WEI. What is the most consequential decision in Boston sports history this millennium? Pete Carroll, Malcolm Butler, Brady over Bledsoe, Grady keeping Pedro in. Your vote, John Lyons.
So can I give you another one?
Okay, yep, I got another.
Danny Ainge trading Pierce and Garnett for the Brooklyn picks that became Tatum and Brown.
Ooh.
I think that's huge. And that's something that he always looked down on Red Auerbach for not trading some of the McHale and Parrish early enough. He did it without that. I mean, that's 5 Eastern Conference Finals, 2 NBA Finals, a championship. I think they'll win another one or two in the next 6-7 years. That's huge.
Or just drafting Tatum, right. Let alone.
Okay, and I'll give you that. Right, Tatum, because the Lakers could have drafted Brown and Tatum, right? Yep. They passed on both.
Right, and interesting, I haven't talked about this publicly, but when Hannon said, we're going to put Greg Hill in the morning, Ken said, over my dead body. And thank God that Hannon was right.
Yeah, and some have said Ken's decision to hire me
right.
as you know, the part-time fill-in weekend guy.
I can vote on all those at EEI, but I'm winning right now. It's Brady over Bledsoe. Your Pete Carroll pick is 12%, 80% to 12. You know, Lord wins again?
Everything with me goes back to number 12.
It does.
The Carroll one's interesting, though, because I think that Seattle team, I don't know how you guys feel, I think in the entire dynasty run, that's the best team they played against of all the, like, the 04 Colts were great, the 04 Eagles, the 01 Rams, like, those teams were elite.
The 14 Ravens were pretty damn good.
The 14 Ravens, they had won the Super Bowl 2 years before, right? But Seattle defending, like, if Seattle wins that game, right, they run the ball there, or they complete the pass, whatever, they win that game, we're looking at them as a top 10 team all time. Back-to-back Super Bowls, all-time defense, Hall of Fame head coach, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame running back.
And like, think about what Russ Wilson is. And you know, it's
he's a Hall of Famer if he completes that pass.
And you win back-to-back Super Bowls against Peyton and Brady.
And blow out Peyton.
Unbelievable.
And then beat Brady in clutch time.
Wow.
All right, Curtis, good job.
All right.
Monday at Gillette with the coach, win or lose.
I will be at Gillette the next 2 days.
All right, yeah, enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right.
Keep young James there. Don't leave early.
Well, the people might want us to leave early.
That's fair.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
You, John.
Good
thank
job, Terps. Terp. And we'll have KJ Lines on the way next.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.